Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. A corner, we come to Zechariah chapter number 7. We have some people that have come up. This is not a vision, but instead it is a question that has come up to the preacher. And they're asking them questions about religious things. They're rebuilding the temple. They're starting to ask, why do we do this? What about this? And we come and see what God responds to them in a question that they present. So notice with me in the book of Zechariah, chapter number 7. The book of Zechariah, chapter 7, and notice with me in verse number 1. Zechariah 7, verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day in the ninth month, even to Shishlu. When they had sent unto the house of God Shizrezar, and Regem-Melech, and to their men to pray before the Lord, and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophet, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done so these so many years? Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land, and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and the seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did ye not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should you not hear the words of the Lord hath cried by the former prophets, when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried that they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. And if you don't mind, the overview of this chapter in chapter 8 is dealing with a question that is brought up. And I'd like to title the message with that question, the question of fasting. The question of fasting. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach this question and the God's answer to them. The question of fasting. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again as we come up to you. And Lord, I'm asking that you do a special work tonight. That you grab a hold of people's hearts and that you draw them close to you. That they would see that you're a great God up in heaven. And that, Lord, we make things so complicated when you make things so simple. Lord, help us to go and to treat things in simplicity and godly sincerity. That we would understand what the scriptures say. We could understand the principle that God is getting across. And that our behavior would be adjusted as needed to draw close to you and to keep things simple. Lord, fill me with your precious spirit so that way you can get your message across. Make it understood. Let everything here be clear. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. The question of fasting. The first thing I'd like to do is bring up the point, the question of fasting. The question of fasting. Now, remember, they have been brought from Babylonian captivity. They are starting to rebuild the temple. As they're rebuilding the temple, the people are starting to get some awareness spiritually after 15 years. And they're starting to ask a question, and they're trying to deal with some of the burdens and some of the religious things they've got going on. And because of this preaching, the people are considering things. Now, the temple is not yet complete, but the altar has been set up and it's ready for use. And what has happened is that there's a delegation that has come to ask a question. Notice with me in chapter 7, verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Darius that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even to Shishlu. And when they had sent unto the house of God Shezrezar and Regem Melech and their men to pray before the Lord. So what happened is that in verse 2, you got these men that have come, and they've come to pray and ask God a question. And they prayed to God, and then they asked the human representatives, the priests, they said, we have a question, verse 3. And to speak unto the priests that were in the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself, as I have done these so many years? So here's the question. We want to know that we have been separating ourselves in the fifth month. We've been taking a special time to fast. Now, what they're doing is they're commemorating the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC. So over 70 plus years, they started this fast. And they're mourning and they're crying, oh, look, God destroyed the city. And so what they've done is that they've made a ritual where they've fasted and prayed, and they took time to mourn and cry about the destruction of Jerusalem. And so after 70 plus years, the people have come up and said, how long do we need to keep fasting? How long do we need to keep this ritual? How long do we need to carry this burden? I mean, it's not convenient for us to take this time and to fast and to carry our burdens to the Lord. It's not convenient for us to get away from this thing here. How long do we have to keep this ritual? How long do we have to keep this burden? Now, that's a legitimate question. Here, they have a burden that's on them. How long do we have to keep this? How long do we have to bear this? How long do we have to have this on the shoulder? How long do we have to keep doing this thing? So let's see what the answer is. We see the question of fasting. We see that God responds to them with the question of motives. The question of motives. So they come up with a legitimate question. How long do we have to fast? We've been keeping this burden, this ritual, this thing for over 70 years. Do we need to keep doing this? Do we need to stop? What is our instructions? Notice with me in verse number 4 as God responds. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land of the priest, saying, when ye fasted and mourned the fifth and the seventh month, even these 70 years, did you fast unto me, even unto me? And when you did eat, and when you did drink, did you not for yourselves drink for yourselves? Now, as God responds, he asks for a question. He says, why do you fast? And the reason why he's asking that is because he said, I never told you to do it. You're coming up to me saying, how long do we have to do this burden? How long do we have to fast during this period of time and do this ritual and do this ritual? And God says, I don't know, because I didn't tell you to do it. This is something you put on yourself. I didn't give you this to do. Why did you do it in the first place? This is something you came up with. This is your own burden that you put on there. So why are you asking me, why did you do it in the first place? Now he goes on and explains himself. In verse number 7, should you not hear the words which the Lord had cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperity and the cities round about her when men inhabited the south and the plain? Now God goes and says, now wouldn't it have been better for you just to obey my word rather than come up with this ritual? You see, people like rituals. People love to try to appease their conscience, and they try to do things in religious rituals. Our Catholic friends are very big on this. They have a holiday they call Lent. For 40 days, they're supposed to fast and to stay away from that. And if you listen to many of those Catholic guys, it's a burden to them. Oh, I can't eat meat. I can't do this and I can't do this. Well, you know, God never set up Lent. That is a man-made holiday that came up. But now they go through the burden. And if you see the Catholics, whether they're Orthodox or minimum Catholics or whatever else, that is a burden holiday. They try to skimp and they try to do whatever else. Only the Orthodox ones are gung-ho about that thing. But to everyone else, they don't look forward to Lent because it's a burden. It's a ritual. But that's what we do. Instead of obeying God, we come up with a ritual. We come up with a thing to try to appease our conscience, and it doesn't please God at all. Well, I didn't read my Bible today, but I'll make it up by giving an extra dollar to the plate. People do that. Well, I didn't have time to pray today, and I didn't really talk to God, but I'll make it up by doing a good deed over here. And people like rituals. They like sacrifice. They like doing those things rather than obeying. God has dealt with this subject all throughout the Bible. If you go back to 1 Samuel, we're not going to turn there. But as we're dealing with King Saul, God actually sends the prophet Samuel and said, isn't it better to obey rather than sacrifice? God is not looking for rituals. He's not looking for these things. He just wants you to obey his word. He said, if you obeyed me in the first place, we wouldn't have this mess. Notice as he goes on and explains some of this history. Notice with me in verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Now he's going back and he's kind of summarizing the idea of the Ten Commandments that we're supposed to be a blessing to others. Look out to try to be an encouragement to others. Notice what happened, though, verse number 11. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. What happened is that the people did not want to obey God. That was the whole problem. Now, he's speaking about the time before the destruction of Jerusalem. So if you go back in time, that you have Jeremiah who's preaching. You have Ezekiel who's preaching. You have Haggai you have some of the other prophets that are preaching, and they're all saying, look up to God, obey God, obey God, obey God, obey God. And the people said, no, can't hear you, nope. And did whatever they want. And to appease their conscience, they would do ritualistic acts. It's almost again like our Catholic friends who can live however they want as long as they go to confessional. And if they do that ritual, they're fine. But rituals don't save. Rituals don't get you closer with God. Those little things don't help. It's obedience that God is looking for. But people substitute, including us people, we substitute rituals for obedience. We try to find some big thing to do. That if I go slay this dragon, if I go do this big thing, if I go take care of this big thing, that God will be happy with me and it will overlook the idea that I haven't been in my Bible for a week. That's how we treat things. That's what we look for. We try to find a give and take system. That if I do this for God, oh man, he'll be happy with me, even though I haven't prayed and really talked to him in a while. Oh, I know. What I'll do is I'll buy the church a big computer. I'll buy them this, and I'll cover the fact that I haven't tithed in a year. You see, people try to do a give and take thing. But God's not interested in rituals. He's not interested in you trying to come up with things to appease your conscience. He just wants you to obey. That's the simple thing. Obey God. Notice as he goes on, verse 12. Now, verse 11, it's saying the people refused to obey. They refused to obey. Verse 12. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words of the Lord of hosts, hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. What happened is that the people refused to hear God's word. They hardened their hearts. I'm not going to do what God says. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't want to do it. I refuse to do it. So God sent judgment. Why? They didn't obey God's simple commands. The Bible talks about in 1 John that the commandments of God are not grievous. Tell me, friend, what's so hard about reading your Bible every day? What's so difficult? What's so difficult about talking to God? What's so difficult about loving others? What's so difficult about tithing? But instead of doing the things that we're supposed to do in the Bible, we try to make up for it different things. And God is not pleased with the rituals and the makeup work and us kissing up and trying to overlook the fact that we didn't obey God in the first place. Notice verse 13. Therefore, it has come to pass that as he cried, that's the person who's under the judgment of God. That as he cried, that's the preacher, that's the prophet. The preacher's been preaching, he's been preaching that they would not hear. So they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. It came to the place where they refused to listen to the preacher. So that way, when they came under the judgment of God, God says, I don't hear you either. You wouldn't hear me. So I'm not going to hear you. You just should have obeyed in the first place. Should have just obeyed. Notice as it goes on, verse 14. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them. No man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Now the lesson the people were supposed to learn from the Babylonian captivity, the lesson they were supposed to learn from Jerusalem being destroyed in 586, the lesson they were supposed to get was to obey God. That was the lesson. However, the lesson they took out of it is we need more rituals. We need more religion. We need more things that we can do. Because it's much easier than obeying God if we do these rituals. So what they did is they came up with a ritual that on the fifth month and on the seventh month and on the fourth month, they started coming up with these rituals where they would refuse to eat. They would fast. And by the way, they weren't fasting to God. They would just say, all right, well, this month, we're not going to eat meat, and we're going to show God I love him. That doesn't work that way. Someone says, well, you know what? I'm going to turn off my TV for a full week. And that way God will really see that I really love him. I know I haven't read my Bible in a while, but I'll exchange. I know I haven't read my Bible, but if I turn off my TV for a full week, I'm not going to read my Bible anymore, but if I just turn off my TV, God will be pleased with me. No. God wants you to obey. Just the simple idea of being with him, to listen to the things that he said. As God sends his preacher, your heart should be saying, I am ready to listen. Rather than say, la, 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 la. What did the preacher say? Well, it's no big deal. I'll make it up by doing this. God doesn't do an exchange. He just wants you to obey. Now, we saw the question asked. Then we saw the question of motives that God asked that. Now let's see the question answered. We're going to go to chapter 8. As God finally gets around to asking their question, answering their question. Notice with me in verse number 1. Again the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion. Now remember, Zion is Jerusalem. I was jealous for Zion with a great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with a great fury. Now let's pause here. Why was God jealous? He was jealous because he wanted the love and affection of the people all to himself. You say, is that a bad thing? No, he's deserving of all your love and affection. Let's just say that I am married, but let's say that I have a wandering eye and I keep looking at other girls. I don't, but let's say that I do. Will my wife get jealous? Yes. Why? Because my love and affection belong to her, not to anyone else. God says, I wanted your love and your affection, but you gave it to everyone else. And you gave me empty rituals and you wanted me to be happy with it. He says, no, I'm jealous and I'm upset and I want your love. I want your affection. It belongs to me. Notice as he goes on in verse number 3. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall be yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with a staff in his hand for age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Now God says, now I've always had a desire to use Jerusalem. I don't want to destroy Jerusalem. I want to use Jerusalem. But in order to fulfill my promises to you, you just need to obey. He says, in the future, you know what I want to do with Jerusalem? Is I want to make it so old men are out in the street just strolling, have a good time. He says, I want to make it where boys and girls are playing in the street. Now, if you've paid attention to the news in your lifetime, you know Jerusalem is not that way right now. Jerusalem is a place that's eaten up with terrorism. It is a place where people are afraid. It is a place where buses are exploding in markets. It's a place where they are plagued. Missiles fly. It is not a safe place for children to go play right now. But God says one day, it's hard for us to imagine knowing the history of that city, but one day it's going to be a place where kids are going to be able to play carefree. And they're not going to worry about terrorists and bombs. They're not worried about missiles. They're not going to worry about bad things. They're going to play carefree. Old men are going to be out there and they're not going to worry about everyone else. They're just going to have a good time strolling down the town. God says, that's what I had planned for it. That's what I desire. I don't want to destroy this city again. Obey me. Obey me. Notice as he goes on. And verse number 6, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it not also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Now God says, hey, you think that's a wonderful thing? It's a wonderful thing to me too. Verse number 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. Now, once again, this is going to be fulfilled in the millennium kingdom, and he's going to bring it back, and he's going to love on these people. Verse number 9, thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day of that foundation of the house of the Lord was laid, and the temple might be built. He's saying, all right, guys, you need to be strong now. Now that we've taught you this lesson, I'm going to do something with it. Just obey. You be strong. Do what I've told you to do. Verse 10. For before these days there were no hire, for no man nor hire a beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of affliction. For I had all men, every one against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, and the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Again, he's reminding them, you just go back. Don't worry about the rituals. Do what I told you to do. That's go rebuild the house. Do what I told you to do. It's almost kind of like the idea of telling someone to go paint a wall, and they have all these questions about everything in the world, but they're not painting the wall. Have you ever seen someone like that? Maybe you work with someone like that. No, go back and do what I told you to do. These questions don't matter right now. Wasn't supposed to be fasting. Go back and do what I told you to do. Go do what I told you to do. Now notice as it goes back. In verse number 16. These are the things which ye shall do. Speak every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For these are all things that I hate, saith the Lord God. Now again, he's repeated what he just said in the last chapter. Just do what I told you to do. And that, just keep it simple. Verse number 18. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. Now, in verse number 18, he goes back to the original question. And he's saying, hey, these fasts are remembering the judgment of God. I don't want you to be remembering the judgment of God. I want you to remember the blessings. While you're taking these holidays to say, oh, how bad we have it, I want you to think about what I've done to bless you. So you don't have to fast when you're happy and realize the blessings God's given to you. Notice with me in verse 19. Verse 20, thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Now God is saying, what I want you to do is I want you to ignore all that other garbage and just obey me. And if you obey me, what's going to happen is that people who are in a different city are going to say, hey, let's go to Jerusalem and let's pray. Those are a people whose God is real to them. They obey them. You know how people know that our God is real? By how we treat God. You know, if we say, well, I know I need to go to church, but it's no big deal. You know what they think of your God? That he doesn't care. Well, I know I'm supposed to read my Bible, but I just haven't felt like it. You know what that teaches about your God? He's not worthy of it. Well, I believe we should pray, but I haven't really talked to him in a while. You know what that tells people about your God? That he's not worth it. But if people obey God and they do what they're supposed to do, people say their God's real. There's something to their God. Let's go and let's go pray because that God is real and we want to pray to a God that's real. Verse number 22, yea, and many people and strong nations shall come and seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. We should live our lives in such an obedience to God because we believe our God is real. And others witness our obedience and they say, let's go talk to that God, to their God, because their God is real. Verse 23, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take a hold out of all the languages of the nations and shall take a hold of the skirt of him that's a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. You want to know how God can be with you? Obey him. That's simple. God is not with you because you decide you're going to do rituals. God is not with you because you decide you're just going to give this or turn off your TV or do this. Remember, it's an idea of motives. Why are you doing this? Well, I'm doing it because I feel like I have to. Wrong motive. Sometimes we may come to church. Why are you at church? Because I have to. Wrong motive. Why should you be here? Because my God is real and I want to talk to him. Why should you read your Bible? Because I have to. Wrong motive. Because my God is real and I want to be with him. Why do you pray? Because I have to. Wrong motive. I pray because my God is real and I want to be with him. You see, it's an idea of motives. Why was you doing it? When those people were fasting, by the way, there is a good fast, and the Bible speaks about it. But the fast they set up was not to get closer with God. It was just to mourn and cry about how bad things were for them. And it didn't get them closer. What gets you close? Obey him. Obey him. You know, throughout Ezra and throughout Nehemiah, you'll see over and over where it says the good hand of God was upon them, that God was with them. How do you have that? By spending time with him, by being obedient to him, having your motives right, not replacing obedience with some knickknack, some ritual, something. You know, we all know people who are very religious. Now remember, religion is man-made works where we have a personal relationship. We all know people who are religious, but God is far from them. We all know people who go to church, but on Monday, they have the foulest mouth you could ever hear. That should never be said of us. Because our God is real. He's real to us on Monday just like He is on Sunday. How do we prove that? How do we show a world? By obeying Him. Because our God is worth it. So when it came to the idea of motives, they had quit their work, and instead of working, hey, go ask Him. Go ask Him. Do we keep this fast? And God says, I didn't tell you to do it in the first place. Go back to work. Wait. Come back here. Go back to work in a second. Just obey me. That's simple. Obey me. Now go back to work. God keeps it simple. You know, there's something about us that we love to do the big things, and that's to cover up that we don't do the small things. What is it we're supposed to do? Keep it simple. Read our Bible. Pray. Be faithful to church. Have our heart right with God. That in the Christian life, in the New Testament, God does not set up rituals for the church. He does not set up rituals for the Christian. We don't have rituals. We follow after God and do these things because we love Him, not because we have to. We should not read our Bible because we have to. We read our Bible because we get to. We shouldn't come to church because we have to. We go to church because we want to. Because God is worthy. It's all a question of motives. So when it comes to the question of fasting here, God answers that and says, if you just obeyed me in the first place, none of this would have happened. And the lesson you get out of the destruction of Jerusalem is not to add more religion. It should have been, I'm going to obey God, and I'm going to keep looking up. I'm going to keep looking up. So let me ask you where you're at right now. Do you try to add rituals to your day to cover up the idea that you're not obeying God? How's your Bible reading? How's your prayer life? Is your prayer life real? Is it alive? Is it fervent? Is it heated? Is your Bible reading, is it just pages? Is it just words? Is it just a book? Or when you read it, does your soul get close to God? When you come to church, now we all have to guard ourselves because there are times that we're tired, times that we're hurting. But we have to work on our own hearts and work on our own selves. Why are we here? Because of the Lord. I get to spend time with God. I get to hear from God's word. I get to hear what God has for me to do, that I obey Him. That I obey Him. Where is your heart? Where is your motives? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.